Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon and good early evening. This is Aaliyah, your beautiful host at the Smell Hearts Radio. I am really excited, as always. I'm just happy, praise the Lord, and I'm happy to be sharing and to be used to share these importante truths to you. And I praise God for you, and I thank you so much for having and taking the time to listen and having the courage to do what you will be told today, and also to do and to obey what God has told me to do. Praise the Lord. So I didn't receive the title for this show until about 3 days ago, and the Holy Spirit wanted me to do an impromptu show. And what that is, it's a show that's not planned. There's no title, and there's no forethought. My shows are always like that, but the Holy does usually give me a title for my next show, but he didn't do that. He wanted this to be an impromptu show. So here we are. Praise the Lord. It is Friday, June the 30th, 2023, and it is 1:01 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, and I need to do the math for the other three time zones. And I just want to praise God and thank God for the universe to kind of start and begin in prayer before we start the show. Father God, I just want to thank you for this opportunity that we have to glorify your name and to give you honor and glory. There's no one that's more important than you. You created us. You created this universe. You created everything that we see and hear. And we give you the preeminence. We give you the honor and the glory. There's no one that is important to you, for you did everything for us, Jesus. You gave up your majesty. You gave up your glory, and you became poor for us so that we could be rich, so that we could be joint heirs with you. And Father, we just give you all the honor and the glory and the praise. Thank you for giving us Jesus. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. And I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are in control as always. You control what's in my mouth. You control what comes to my heart. You control what I say. Have your way in the show. Have your way in our lives for the rest of our lives. And I pray that our listeners will permit you to do that. We love you, Father, and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, praise the Lord, everybody. And I just want to, again, thank you so much for tuning in to Personal Hearts Radio. There was a word that the Lord gave me as I was praying, and it will come back to me. I should have written it down, but it definitely will come back to me because it was a word from the Lord that he gave me that he wanted me to tell someone. But I just wanted to begin by saying that we, as we start our weeks off, I wanted to tell you that every day is a new beginning. You don't have to wait until New Year's to start your new beginning. You don't have to wait until your birthday. You don't have to wait until Christmas. You can start wherever you are right now. Many people are having, well, I'm not going to echo what everyone else is saying because it's not true for everybody, but it is true for some people that are having some financial difficulties, and maybe they're having some trouble in their marriage. I answered a question. I was on Facebook, and this woman said how her husband, you know, she lost a child via miscarriage, and her husband wanted a Father's Day shirt, even though they didn't have the child physically. The child was in heaven, because as we know, life starts at conception, and even though it's just the life is still forming, it is a life that is made in the image of God right there at the moment of conception. So she didn't want to give her husband a Father's Day shirt, and she'd had two miscarriages. And I just encouraged her and told her that you have two babies in heaven. And even though they're not present with you, you have them in heaven. I want you to name those babies, and I want you to go on Amazon and pay $30 for a Father's Day shirt. And sometimes life is that simple. You know, you're arguing and bickering over minor things when your husband says, hey, I want a Father's Day shirt. Give me a Father's Day shirt. And she goes, I don't want to give him a Father's Day shirt. Why should I have to give him a Father's Day shirt? And just these little foxes that spoil the vine. I just encouraged her. I said, $30 is a very inexpensive price to pay for peace. I mean, my goodness, give the man a Father's Day shirt and have peace in your home. It got to the point where they were sleeping in separate bedrooms and in separate beds. So you want to pay attention to those little foxes, because it's not the big things that spoil and ruin your life. It's those little things that eat away at your marriage, that eat away at you. And then those little things, they grow. I had a neighbor, and it's amazing how fast children grow up. And he said, you know, if I keep feeding them, they'll grow. So, he was joking about that, of course. But I was just saying that things grow, problems grow, lives grow. If you leave it, some people think, I had a person at church who, when they didn't have the money to pay their bills, so one of their ways of coping with paying their bills was to put it in a drawer and to close it. You know, just forget about the bills existing. And God forbid, or something happened in her life where she could no longer take care of their finances. So her husband asked me, because he knew that I was very good with money. I worked as a treasurer before, and I'm a financial analyst now. He knew I was good with money, and he said that, can you help me balance my bank account and, you know, show me what's going on? And come to find out, there was a drawer full of bills, and his wife just thought if she didn't do anything, they would go away. That is not how life works. It took me about a month or two just to get all that sorted out, because there was so much, and it was like utilities where things would be getting cut off, and I had to call the utility company and get, you know, you with the pot. I mean, just things that you have to do. And it was all solved. You don't need a hire a professional. You just need to talk to people that can help you. So I just wanted to say that problems grow. You can't sweep them under the rug. They grow. So deal with what you have to deal with right now. Face your fears. If you've told a lie and that lie has snowballed, the only way that you can get, the only way that the Holy Spirit will help you is by telling the truth. I believe in that because a lie is from the devil. The Bible says the devil is the father of lies. And I was listening to Billy Graham, or let's see, no, it wasn't Billy Graham, I apologize. It was another minister, and he said that anybody who bears false witness, and when you say, okay, what does being bearing false witness mean? It means lying on someone. It means you're being a false witness for someone, you're being on behalf of someone. So you're lying on behalf of a cause. And let me just give you a formal definition. So when you bear false witness, you're speaking falsely in any matter. You're lying, you're equivocating, you're devising, you're designing, you're designed to deceive your neighbor. So it's lying. And the minister said that when you bear false witness, when you lie, you're actually an agent for the devil. And this is why the Bible speaks so much about lying, and it's why I hate what God hates and I love what he loves. But you, as Christians, we should also hate lying, because if you truly understand what lying does to a person, you would never want to lie again. And you're saying, Leah, man, Lee, you're going in so many different directions here. I am speaking to many different people about their life. So this may apply to your life, or this may apply to someone you know, and then the next subject I may be speaking on may be applying to someone else. But this in general applies to everybody, because we all need to know the ramifications of lying, and I cannot speak on this enough, because lying will get you straight into hell. It will get you into hell. And you say, well, what about what about people who do this and do that? That too. And I want to speak on this because the Holy Spirit is leading me to speak on this as well. homosexuality is a sin, and we preach on it not because we hate the person. God forbid, we don't love the person. We want to save that person. Homosexuality, lying, stealing, murder, all those are all one-way tickets to hell. Just because a person is in homosexuality doesn't mean that a person who's committing fornication will not end up in hell. Those are all one-way tickets to hell. The person in line going to hell might be engaged in homosexual behavior. A person might behind them might be lying. The person in front of them might have committed murder. The front of them might have committed sodomy. We have to really be careful because the world has introduced those sins as something that is glamorous, something that is glorious. And people tend to forget who really runs this world. The devil can do nothing without Jesus' permission. Jesus created this world. It is his world. And you may say, oh, but this and that and this and that. It's because so many people, God forbid, have kicked the Lord out. That's why you don't see him. If you weren't invited, why should you come? The Lord is a gentleman. And if we invite him into our lives, he will help us, but he will not control us. He will not make us do anything. So if you want Jesus in your life, he's there. He's listening to you. He listens to every word. But you have to show that you want him there. And I think it's very important because a lot of people are unbalanced. Their kids are unmanageable, and they don't understand why when there are little foxes in their life that they forgot to deal with. And so it all comes down to this. It all comes down to this. That Jesus is everything. He's the answer to everything. Every single thing. There's nothing new under the sun. If you read about the life of Solomon, and you read about how rich he was and his wisdom, and the problems that he went through, being the richest and the wisest man, there's nothing new under the sun. What you're going through is nothing new. And if you just go to Jesus and you listen to him, and you obey him, it'll make your life so much easier. I'm not going to say that you won't have trials and tribulations because Jesus says in this world you'll have tribulations. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So praise God. You will have, as you listen to this, I pray your heart is in good soil. That was what I talked about last week. Obey the voice of the Lord. But I want you to take away this most important thing. And I will get to that word that God gave me when I was in prayer. But I want to take away this most important thing. Jesus is everything. He is the answer to any and everything that you're going through. Every single thing. If you could have an opportunity to talk to someone who knew everything about the world and everything about politics, math, science, teaching, English, wisdom, knowledge, all subjects, everything about your body, about what you're going through, about your marriage. Wouldn't you want to have access to that person? You would pay a lot of money to be able to talk to that person for 30 minutes to get all your questions answered. I'm telling you, you don't have to pay anything. But you do have to have patience. You have to have patience and you have to wait on the Lord. And I remember, and this is the word that God told me. He wanted me to tell people that to be kind with the words of your mouth. Kindness. He wants us to be kind. He wants you to use kindness with the words of your mouth. Kindness is not a sign of weakness. It's a sign of strength. And you know why? Because it takes strength to be kind when someone is berating you. It takes strength to be kind when your spouse is degrading you or making fun of you. It takes strength to be kind when you're in school and they're making fun of you and they're laughing at you. It takes strength to be kind, to have a soft word when someone is cursing at you or lack of a better word, or using foul language. That takes kindness. I've been in that situation many times when I was at work. And the one time I didn't have to go around that mountain again because I've learned my lesson. I asked, thank you, Holy Spirit. It was, I'll just go into that story. I was working in public relations, and my boss was going through a tumultuous marriage. She had twins, and the wife took the house, and had full custody of the kids, and his business wasn't doing that well, so he was just all over the place. And instead of me throwing the same in his teeth, as the Bible would say, now, I don't curse, you know, I don't curse, but I didn't respond. I responded in a soft manner. And at the end, when after 6 months, it was my time to leave. You know, I found Holy Spirit. I found another position. Oh, actually, the company could no longer afford to pay me, so I was laid off. But my former boss, came to me and he said, "I want what you want. I want what you have. I want to be able to respond in the way that you responded to me." And that was so touching because I knew I passed the test and I didn't have to go around that mountain again. And praise God, that was many years ago, and I've never had a boss like that who talked to me like that ever again because I passed the test. So the Lord wants me to tell you to be kind with your mouth, be kind with your spouse, and just to let you know, sometimes it is you. Sometimes you are the problem. It isn't the devil. Sometimes it is just you, your choices, your mouth, your attitude. It is just you. But sometimes it isn't. And when it isn't you, just remember that that person is dealing with far greater things than you can imagine. That person that cut you off, the person that talked to you in that way. Remember to not, yes, look at the fruit, but also look at the root. What is the root cause of why that prior your spouse is speaking to you that way? Oftentimes, they're upset at you at something you did years ago. And it's just, like I said, it's blown up into something huge because it wasn't dealt with. So let's be kind with our mouths. Let's talk to our spouses and each other with respect because the time is short. Jesus could come in this moment while I'm speaking to you. I'd be gone. You'd hear my voice and my show would be still be on. And you could be gone. But the time is short. The time is very short. It is extremely short when Jesus Christ is coming back to gather his people in the rapture. And by that time, if you are not taken in the rapture, you only have two choices. You will either live or you will either die. You will either live for the Lord Jesus Christ and die, you will either live or die after the rapture. You will live, but you will be in hell for eternity because when you take the mark of the beast, there's no forgiveness. The Bible says that. You've marked yourself. It's done. Or you can die. You can die to this world and live forever with Jesus. So one of my purposes here is to get you ready for the rapture because that could take place tonight. It could take place today. It could take place in the next minute or second. It's imminent. We are past time. And that is because it's God's grace. He wants so many people to make it into the kingdom of God. And I just want you to examine yourself, get into your secret closet, go somewhere. And like I said, you don't have to go to India or Pakistan, or Bermuda or Bahamas or Las Vegas. Or, you know, even if you live in California, you live in Utah, you live in Kentucky, Missouri, Colorado, Florida, Texas, Maine, New York, South Virginia, I can name all the states. That was my favorite subject in school, New Mexico, or you live in another continent, another country. It's beautiful where you are. It is so gorgeous where you are. You can find a quiet place and you can just spend time in a park and you can spend time there or just find a place where you know you won't be interrupted and you can say, "Father, I need you to examine me. I need you to show me places that are about to die. I want to make the rapture. I want to make heaven. Help me make heaven, make the rapture." And I believe I may have told this story before, but I will tell it again because it was pretty. My sister, my older sister, just by 1 year, she is still married, and she was going through some tough times in her marriage, and she moved out. And she got a job where she was managing an apartment building, and they gave her a studio apartment for free, and she was moving in. And it was a nice place in Long Beach. It was really nice. And I helped, and I visited her, and she had a really nice place. And she said that to get alone and just be with the Lord and just have peace. And she said one day, as she had her Bible open, and she just asked the Lord, she said, Lord, you know, she has four nephews, and they were just, you know, she just had a moment where she was just alone by herself. And she said, Lord, can you show me what I'm doing wrong? And he gave her a laundry list. He gave her, he said, you really want to know? Yeah, I want to know. I want to read this thing out. He told her everything. I told this story to a person at my church, and it was fresh in my mind because this was like 3 years ago this happened, but he told her so many things. But my sister told me the story, what he told her, and he told her so many things, what she needed to do, what she did wrong, and what she should have done, and you know what? It hurt her. She cried. But isn't it better for you to cry and root all that stuff and get it right now? Instead of you being in front of the great white throne judgment and the Lord telling you that when it's too late for you to correct yourself, praise God that you have the humility to say, Father God, you know, I need to know what's wrong with me. What am I doing wrong? And you know what? It could be nothing. I remember years ago I asked the Lord that question, and the Holy Spirit showed me a reel. And it was black, but then what I was doing wrong would have white writing on it. And in the spirit, I saw a reel, but there was nothing written on the reel. And that showed me that I wasn't doing anything wrong. Praise God for that. Praise the Lord. And I'm not saying that I aim, because the Bible does say that we should be perfect, even if our Father, which is perfect. I want to be like my Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. So I repent daily. I ask for forgiveness daily. But we do live in this world, and we are subject to the things that come at us, to the thoughts that the fiery darts of the devil throw at us. But you catch those thoughts. You are not defeated. You are not a victim. You are a warrior. You are someone special. You are magnificent. You are glorious. And I had a credit on my card, and I decided to treat myself to go to do a little shopping, just a little bit. I went over a little bit, but I'll just have to work a little harder to pay that off. But I treated myself, and I went shopping, and it was a really good day. I enjoyed myself, and thank God that He has given us the freedom to do that and to breathe His air and to enjoy our lives. So I just wanted to leave that with you. I'm going to play a short song, and it's by Kingdom Culture, and I hope you enjoy it, and I'll be right back.
Brand new beginning. No room for a king, no celebration and no ceremony. In that little town, no, nobody will take. This is the story of the coming glory. Can you hear the prayers the people pray? Can you see the skies begin to break? When heaven and earth were face to face, oh, how the world forever changed. For God is with us. God is with us. Oh, that gave us a reason for leaving. Can you feel the hope? God is with us.
That song is one of my favorite songs. Music is powerful. I hope that blessed you. And I just wanted to let you know that if you need anything, if you require a Bible, if you need prayer, if you need anything, please, please email us. The Bible says the prayer of the righteous is of great price. And let me just get that specific because I want to make sure that you can reference it. Yourself. So it's in the book of James, and it's James chapter 5, verse 16, and it says, the prayer of a righteous person has great power. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. That's the King James 5 version. B is, the prayer of a righteous person has great power. So when you are needing something and you want someone to join your faith with yours, please feel free. You can reach out to me at Aaliyah, or actually you can reach out to the organization Hello, H-E-L-L-O, at personalheart.org. That's personalheart.org. Email us anything that you want. If you need financial assistance, please contact us. I do believe as a ministry, it should not just be about giving, but that we should also not receiving, but that we should also be giving, not just receiving. We want to give into your life and bless your life, so please let us know if there's anything that you need. And that's going to end our show for today. That's what the word of the Lord wanted me to tell you. Please use kindness when you're speaking to each other. Please use kindness when you're speaking to your boss. Please use kindness when you are speaking to your children, because in this day and age, people will remember you by the way that you treated them. The Bible even says that how will they know that we are a disciple? And it's because of the love that we have shown to one another. So let us remember to be kind to one another. The time is short. Prepare your heart for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you don't know how to do that, go to Jesus Christ. He has all the answers for you in your life. If you are struggling with your weight, if you are obese, if you are struggling with your thyroid, if you are struggling with your lungs, your heart, anything in your body, remember Jesus is a master builder. He is the cornerstone. He is the stone that was rejected, but became the headstone. He is the master builder. He built us. He made us. If you're struggling in any area of your life, if you have a porn addiction, if you've committed adultery, run to Jesus. Don't think that he doesn't understand what you're going through. The Bible says that he was tempted in all like manner as you were, yet without sin. Don't look up to these people in Hollywood who have made a contract with the devil. Don't look up to these people. Let Jesus be the one that you can cling to. Let Jesus be the one that you look up to, not whom you want to be. Because I'm going to tell you something. Those people that you idolize, those people that you look up to, or that who are human, they might be right alongside you. And you're going to say, what in the world? And you're looking at them when they have just as many problems, if not more, than you have. The same pressure, the same things that we are going through. Don't look up to people. Look up to Jesus. He's the one that created you. He's the one that did everything for you. He's the one that has the true treasures of wisdom and knowledge. He has everything from what you're going through. And so you say, Aaliyah, you know, I need my rent paid. I need a roof over my head. He's your first step. He's your first go-to. I remember when I needed a job because we need money in this life. We need a roof over our head. We need a car drive. We need food to eat. We need clothing on our backs, especially if you have children. And there was never a time I was without. There was never a time where I didn't have jobs, or if I needed a job, God gave me one right at the right time. I mean, I had 3 jobs at one time. So you have to make the first step. This is not in the Bible, it may be, but I've always told people this. God is not going to help you with something that you can do yourself. If you're going to ask God, help me brush my teeth, he's going to look at the 2 hands that he gave you to brush your teeth. You're going to say, Lord, I need some help with putting on my shoes. I need some help with buying clothes. He's going to look at you and say, I gave you legs. I gave you a brain. I gave you eyes. I gave you arms. You're supposed to go out and you're supposed to work. A man that does not work should not eat. And people are waiting for this great miracle to fall out of heaven when he gave you the miracle of life. He gave you the miracle of being able to stand on your own 2 feet. He gave you the miracle of having the brain to think. He gave you the miracle of having your 5 fingers, your vision, your eyesight, your pelvis, your elbows, your tendons. He gave you, that's the miracle. Look at the people who don't have legs, who don't have their arms, who don't have their vision, and they're wishing, oh my gosh, I would rather have my 2 legs. I wish I could have my 2 legs and I can be homeless. I can make something of myself if I only had my 2 legs. And here you have your legs, you have your arms, and you can do anything. The miracle is already manifested. You are the miracle. The miracle is within itself. You are that miracle. Go out and do and utilize the energy and the mindfulness that God gave you. Go out and work, and you can get those things. And I know people right now who just keep asking for money, 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 when they're in the prime of their life, and they can walk, and they can talk, and they can work, and they don't realize that right now, when you're in your 20s, and even in your 30s, you're supposed to be building your what you want. You know, God will give you that ability to create wealth. He will give you that ability as long as you seek him first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness, and all the things shall be added unto you. It's not rocket science. It's not rocket science the way how God will bless you. He will bless you, but you have to do your part. You have a part. God did not shoulder all the responsibility on him without giving us something to do. If you need to find a job, he will help you get a job. But it takes time. You may have a job, you may be working, and then he'll give you the money to save money. And then you might be able to buy a Toyota Corolla. And then you'll get a promotion. And then by the year is out, you'll be able to afford a nicer or bigger car. But see, it took time. And you're here, you're sitting here, you're listening. What are you doing now? What are you doing now to make your life better? So if the miracle is within you, the power is within you, and you have to tap into that through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ has all the answers. He has all the wisdom and knowledge. Seek him first. Give him the glory. Humble yourself and say, Father, I cannot do this on my own. I don't have the wherewithal to do this on my own. I need your help. I need your guidance. I need you to help me. I need you to give me what I need, the tools I need to make in this life. And he will hear you, but you have to obey. He may tell you, okay, I need you to cut this out. I need you to cut that out. But it's not for your own. It's for your betterment that he's telling you to do that. Because those things, he may need you to cut off certain people. He may need you to stop doing something. He may need you to stop smoking or stop drinking. And it's not because he doesn't want you to enjoy life. It's because he does want you to enjoy life. Don't you know that smoking cuts off your life considerably, that drinking will also destroy brain cells, and that it will even the studies even show that casual drinking will do this. Even people who are not alcoholics, but just drinking casually will do this, will shorten your life and will cause you to age. So God may tell you to do something that you may say, I want you to stop drinking coffee. He may tell you to do something that's uncomfortable because he sees what's on the inside. God does not look at the appearance. He looks on the inside. Feel, okay, if you stop doing this, it will give you enough time to heal. It will give you enough time to do this. If you stop hanging out with this person, it will give me enough time to do this, because you may be blocking your own blessings. I see on the ice, I hear, not frequently, because I choose who I choose my company. I don't have a lot of times, and that's by choice, because you just have to get to be careful who you hang around with. But I was talking to someone at church, and they were, God forbid, it hurts me to even say this, but they were blaming God for their own decisions. You made a choice. You made a choice. And if you can't blame God for the choice that you made, oh, God didn't come through. What do you mean? And every time people tell me that God didn't do this, God didn't do that, and I probe and I ask more questions, because I know, and I know this is silly, I know that God doesn't need defending, but I do. I defend him, because he is always the one to blame when he didn't do anything. He didn't do anything. I say, why would you blame the only one that could help you? Why would you cut off the hand of the person that's feeding you? What on earth? Are you insane? Is something wrong? And every time I probe and I get to the bottom of what happened, it's their own choice. This person I was talking to at church, they lost their house, and there were two people in the household. It was a dad and his daughter. The wife had passed on. And the dad was in of age where he was collecting Social Security, so he wasn't able to work at his usual construction job because he was older. But his daughter was of a working age, but she refused to work because she just believed God would give her money through this or money through that. And I said, that's not how it works. If you're able to work, God will bless you. And she really didn't need to work a full-time job, because the Social Security was enough where if she worked a part-time job, they could save a house. And I was just, years and years, I would say, hey, sell the house. If you don't want to pay for the house, sell the house. But they didn't heed the words of wisdom, and I stopped casting my pearls before swine, because I realized that most people are just going to do what they want to do. And I was putting my pearls of wisdom out there, telling them right beforehand, sell the house. If you don't want to work, if you don't want to stay in the house, sell it. And it came to a point where they just believed God would save the house through some miraculous means. And God is saying, and I'm looking at them like, how come you didn't work? How come you, now I've owned my own home before, so I'm not preaching about something I don't know. I bought a home on my own, it was through Jesus and his grace and his power and his favor. But I was the only person on the deed. So I bought a home, I sold a home. I understand what they were going through. And it just blew my mind that they had blamed God for something that it was in their power to say. So I just asked you in the last few minutes that I have in the show to examine yourself, to examine your life, and to make sure that you're in the faith, because there is so much in the Bible that you could use, that could teach you things. Like, I always, when I'm buying something and I'm on the fence about it, the scripture that comes to my mind is this: if it is not of faith, it is sin. And so that ends it right there, because it's not a definite no that I want this, or it's not a definite yes. And I remember I like art, and I have a lot of nice pieces that I've had over the years, and the Holy Spirit gave me this: does this add to your house, does this add to your life? And I would say no. And so I'm asking you, does the person that you are with, do they add to your life? A lot of, and I'm going to tell you this, a lot of people don't add to other people's lives. Most of the people that I have encountered, they actually were burdensome to me. And the Bible does say, bear ye one another's burdens. And I have for 10 or 11 years, I bear the burdens of many. And even before that, and God just brought me to a point where he needed me just to take care of myself, or I'm not bearing someone else's burdens, because I have for many, many, many years that I've done that. And I just want to make sure that you're at a place. And if you're saying, Leah, you know, I don't want to keep doing this, you allow God to remove you. He has removed me, so I know that I'm in his perfect will. I didn't just leave from bearing someone's burdens. But he removed me because it came to a point where they didn't want to change. They just wanted someone else to keep carrying them. And God said, this is enough. I don't want you to keep bearing their burdens for them. So God removed me out of a place where a church I was helping, where I was, it was all on my shoulders, basically. Well, there was a senior pastor, but I was second in command. But I praise God for that opportunity. I learned, but I praise God that also that he took me out of that, because now I'm in a position where I'm younger and I have fresh ideas, and I'm basically just doing what God wants me to do, and I'm always doing what God wants me to do. So I'm just happy where I am. I'm joyful, I have peace, and I want you to have the same thing. But most importantly, as I end the show, like I said, I was going to end 15 minutes ago, I want you to be kind one to another and to prepare for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And how do you prepare for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ? You get on your knees and you ask Jesus to forgive you, and I will lead you in that prayer right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for this show. I thank you, Holy Spirit, for bringing up several topics that we need to address, and even more topics as we continue our show next week. And, Father, I just ask you for any person that's listening that wants to accept the Lord Jesus Christ into their life. I ask you, Father, that you humble that person, and that they come to you, and that they repent of their sin, and that they ask you to come into their life, take control of their lives, and to come into their heart, and make them reborn, make them a born-again Christian, create them a new heart, and a new spirit, give them your Holy Spirit, so that they will be a reborn Christian. You say, Father, I repent of my sins. Please forgive me of my sins. I want to be a reborn Christian. I want to be in the kingdom of heaven. I want to be with you forever. Forgive me for everything I've done wrong, and forgive me for everything that I've done to you. And I ask you to forgive me for all my sins and come into my heart and be the Lord of my life. Be my Savior. Be my Father in Jesus' name. And after that, you are born again in the kingdom of heaven. And the Holy Spirit will lead you. Get a Bible. If you need one, I'd be more than happy to send you one. Get a Bible. And the Lord will lead you into a beautiful, beautiful life. But the most beautiful thing is you will be in heaven with Jesus and the Father and the Holy Spirit, and your family who was already there before you. You'll be in heaven forever. You'll have eternal life in heaven, and you will not be in hell. Praise God. I look forward to being with you again. Please have a beautiful weekend, and I love you.